Blog Talk Radio.
Hey! Let's go!
Die, but soon held on. If he was healed,
welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. It is May the 16th, 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. It's going to get better. Amen. It's going to get better. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services on Sunday morning. We start at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. You can come and be in the sanctuary with us at First Baptist as we go into our worship service. We also invite you to go to the Facebook page. Go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. There you can see the Sunday morning service. We do go live, as I said earlier, at 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. You also, on the Facebook page, you will find the link for the Bible study that you're listening to now. You'll also find the call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can be a part of our Bible study tonight. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist and all of our annual days and all of the activities that we have going on at First Baptist. You'll also find information about the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So we ask that you go to our Facebook page and scroll around and see what's going on at First Baptist. You can drop us a line in the comment section if you would like to. We would like to stay in touch with you. So stay in touch with us so that we can stay in touch with you. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can, of course, come to church on Sunday and bring your contributions to the church, or you can mail them to the church and go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Also, you can use our Cash App. We do have a Cash App. Start with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS, FBCHS. You can use the Cash App. And you can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. So there is no excuse for not supporting the local church, whether it be First Baptist or any local church. You do have the resources with social media to support your local church. So people can say that, well, I can't get the church. Well, that's fine. You can say that, well, we don't have time. Whatever the case may be, it may or may not be true, but you can still support your church. And we thank God for those who do, and we pray that they will continue to do so. Just a few announcements. Next Sunday is the pastor's anniversary. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. We ask that you will come and be a part of that. Our special guest is Pastor Von Brayboy and the Orange Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. They will be having service with us on Sunday morning. They're going to forego their service and come and worship with us for the pastor's 9th anniversary. So we invite all of you to come, tell your friends, tell your neighbors to come so that we can have a great celebration together at First Baptist. Also, I want to remind you that we are still in prayer for those who are going through, for families that are going through. There are a lot of bereaved families. There are a lot of people who are sick, shut in the hospital. We have lost, or I have lost, 3 cousins in the last 2 months. It seems like death is everywhere, sickness is everywhere, and we do have to stay prayerful for those who are going through at this time, because we know that, therefore, by the grace of God, it could be us. So we must stay prayerful for them as well, so that we will have a humble heart in knowing that God is still in the blessing business. Next Tuesday, we're going to forego our scriptorial lesson, and we will have a topical discussion. We're coming up on the Memorial Day weekend, and we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to talk about as far as the church, the community, a lot of things we need to discuss as we go forward. So next Tuesday, instead of our regular scriptorial lesson, we will have our topical discussion. Those of you who have been a part of the First Baptist Bible study for a year or so now know that every quarter we do pause from our scriptorial study to have a topical discussion, because it's important that the church is involved and know what's going on in its community and those who are around them at large. We want to make sure that we have ample information to deal with the problems and the situations that we find ourselves in. We're living in a dangerous time, beloved. So we need to stay aware. We need to stay aware of what's going on in the world and have a sense of pride and a sense of understanding who we are in the Lord as we go forward. So next Tuesday, 7 o'clock, we will be having a topical discussion. You can call in and you can be a part of that topical discussion. You can ask your friends also to call in. We're going to be talking about a lot of things. It's time for us to face the facts about gun controls. Time for us to face the facts about education in our schools. And it's time for us to face the facts about the church as well. So there are a lot of things that we need to wake up and face the facts of. We're going to be talking about some of those things next Tuesday in our topical discussion. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night of Bible study. We thank you, God, for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this lesson long after it has been recorded. We ask now, God, that as we go into our lesson tonight, that you will continue to bless us with clarity, that we may have a good understanding of your words. We ask, God, for your blessing upon each and every household that's represented on the line tonight. God, give them a good night tonight. Give them a peaceful night tonight. We ask for your mercy against all things. Father, we know that there are people who are going through right now, people who are in the hospital, people who are in the sick bed, people who are in the rest home. We ask, God, that you will just stop if you don't stay long and see about them. We know, God, that there is nothing that we have or can do that you cannot handle. And so we place them in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is a continuation of last week. We talked about last week the son of promise, or God's promise to Sarah. God's promise to Sarah. We talked about that last week. If you did not hear the last week Bible lesson, you can go back to the Facebook page and click on that link. That's one thing about the Blog Talk Radio format. You can always go back and click on the links, and you can hear Bible studies that we did 2 months ago, 3 months ago, a year ago. You can hear all of those Bible studies. You can hear it while you're working at home. You can hear them while you're driving your car. You can hear them while you're doing other things. And you don't have to sit and look in one place in order to have Bible study. You can carry it with you. And so you can go back and hear last week's lesson. We talked about God's promise to Sarah. This week, a test of faith. A test of faith. Genesis doesn't reveal exactly how much time has passed since Isaac's birth. It's clear, however, that having just sent Ishmael into the wilderness, I'm in Genesis 22, it's clear, however, that having sent Ishmael into the wilderness, Abraham is now being asked to give up Isaac as well. This is a profound test of his faith and what God has promised him, especially considering that the child sacrifice doesn't seem to have any kind of normal part of his culture. Abraham commits to Isaac, suggests that he still trusts God to fulfill his promise somehow. We're in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter of Genesis. We're going to start in verse 1. Genesis 22. Now it came to pass that after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abram, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell thee. God is testing Abraham. This was not so much of a test to produce faith. It was a test to reveal faith. Let me say that again. This was not a test to produce faith. It was a test to reveal faith. God built Abraham slowly, piece by piece. Year by year, God built him into a man of faith. This test would reveal some of the faith that God had built into Abraham. I cannot imagine a greater test than that which the Lord applied to Abraham. The Jews usually say that Abraham was tried 10 times. Surely, on this occasion, he was tried 10 times in one. When Abraham said, here I am, Abraham quickly answered to the call, which is a wonderful example of how a man or woman of faith should respond to God. when Abraham said, here I am, it meant that he was ready to be taught, ready to obey, ready to surrender. And he was ready to be examined by God. So God said, take your son, your only son Isaac. God calls Isaac your only son, when in fact Abraham had another son, Ishmael. But since he had been put away from Abraham's family, God now says Abraham only has one son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Counting from Genesis 1:1, this is the first mention of the word love in the Bible. From the beginning to now, this is the first mention of the word love in the Bible. This first mention comes in the context of the love between father and son, connecting with the idea of the sacrificial offering of the son. Every phrase of God's command to Abraham was like a knife being stuck into him. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, offer him there as a burnt offering. When he said offer him there as a burnt offering, God told Abraham to offer him as a burnt offering. This was not an offering that was burned alive, but one with the life taken before the sacrifice and then placed on the altar to be completely burned. You see, Abraham lived as a sojourner, a pilgrim in a land of Canaan. It is said that the worshippers or the priests of the Canaanite gods demanded human sacrifice. The people of Canaan found nothing especially strange about human sacrifice. But Abraham had believed that God was different. With this command, Abraham might have wondered if God were going to keep his covenant, the God that created the heavens and the earth. Why would he ask him to sacrifice the son of promise? But by the end of the story, Abraham knew that God was not like the pagan gods that demonstrated and demanded human sacrifice. In truth, he was just the opposite. Beloved, how would you react if God told us to do such a thing? Many years ago, there were many people who wrote about sacrifice or child sacrifice. But it can't be denied that either out of madness or demonic deception, some people have done some terrible things and justified it with these lines. For instance, in 1993, a man by the name of Andrew Cates was sentenced to 60 years in prison after being convicted of fatally shooting his 2-year-old daughter, then walking naked through the neighborhood carrying her body. He claimed that he was acting out of the biblical story of Abraham and Isaac, and God would do a miracle to win this brother into Christianity. He believed God would miraculously stop him at the last moment before he killed his daughter. This man was obviously deranged. What Abraham did was something completely unique in God's redemptive history, given for a specific purpose once and for all fulfilled. There is no way God would ever direct someone to do something like this today. So he said, offer him as a burnt offering. This test was difficult in yet another aspect because it seemed contradictory to the previous promise of God. God had already promised in Isaac that his seed would be the seed that would generate the people of God. It seems strange and contradictory to kill the son who was promised to carry on the covenant even before the covenant had been fulfilled. It seems as if God commanded Abraham to kill the very promise God made to him. Abraham had to learn the difference between trusting the promise and trusting the promiser. We can put God's promises before God and feel that our responsibility to bring the promise to pass. And even if we disobey God to do so, trust the promiser no matter what, and the promise will come to pass. Beloved, there are times with us when we are called to a course of action which looks as though it would jeopardize our highest hopes. It is neither our business or anyone else's, but it's God's promise that we should do what he asks us to do. To do evil, that good may come in false morality and wicked policy. So we cannot do evil things complaining and thinking that we're doing something good, because all the evil or all the good that you do is canceled by the good that you have done before that. He said, take him to the land of Moriah, one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. There were specific places God commanded Abraham to go, a particular spot where this would happen. God carefully directed each detail of this drama. Verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place in which God had told him. Abraham rose early in the morning. This is a sign of no hesitation on Abraham's part. Abraham rose early in the morning to do this. Must have been a sleepless night for Abraham. Abraham's obedience shows that he trusted God, even when he did not understand God. Sometimes we say, I'm not going to obey or believe until I understand it all. But that is not to put myself on an equal standing with God. Abraham obeyed, showed that he didn't debate or seek counsel from others. He knew what to do, and he refused to be a stumbling block or the stalling. So Abraham's obedience showed that he trusted God, even when he did not feel like it. There is not a line in this text about how Abraham felt, not because he didn't feel, but because he walked by faith and not by feelings. But there is not a word of argument, not one solitary question of even looking like hesitation. God is God, he seems to say, and if it is for me, I should do what God asked me to do, not seek a reason or try to compromise to do what God had willed. You see, God trained Abraham over many decades, bringing him to this place of great trust. In just the last chapter, God asked Abraham to give up Ishmael in a less severe way. God used that and everything else to train up Abraham and build great faith in him. So he saddled his donkey. This phrase suggests that Abraham did the work personally. He saddled the donkey. He split the wood. Though he had many servants to do it for him, Abraham did it himself, even in his old age. Perhaps this was because he was filled with nervous energy. Abraham was a sheikh and a very powerful man in his camp, but he became a wood splitter, thinking no work menial if done for God, and recognizing the work too sacred for other hands. With splitting the wood and saddling the donkey, he was making sure that everything was going to go according to what God had asked him to do. Here is a man who had many servants who didn't have to do any of that. The Bible said he rose up early in the morning, and he took it upon himself to make sure that everything was ready to go where God had told him to go. In a wonderful trusting obedience, Abraham went right to the spot which God had told him. He did this even though it would have been easier in Abraham's eyes if God had asked Abraham to lay his own life down instead of the life of his son Isaac. Let's go to verse 4. I'm going to read 4 through 8. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we shall come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering. So the two of them went together. On the third day, Abraham came to the place where God had showed him. This region of Moriah is associated with Mount Moriah, which is a modern-day part of Jerusalem. Abraham had 3 long days to think over what God commanded him to do. This made the test even more severe. To be burnt quickly to death upon the blazing fire, to be a martyr, but to hang in chains, roasting on a slow fire. This is what he had in his mind those 3 days. But yet and still, it did not discourage him. It did not cause him to faint. It did not cause his faith to waver. Abraham endured those 3 long days. "I will go yonder and worship," he told the 3 young men that he left with the donkey. This is the first use of the word worship in reference to God in the Bible. The Hebrew word simply means to bow down. While Abraham and Isaac did not go to the mount to have a time of joyful praise, they did go to bow down to the Lord. "And we will come back to you," he said. Abraham was full of faith when he spoke to the young men who were with him. He believed that both he and Isaac would return, that he would come back. He told them, "We'll come back to you." This does not mean that Abraham somehow knew that this was only a test and God would really require of him. Instead, Abraham's faith was in understanding that should be, if he did kill Isaac, God would raise him from the dead, because God had promised Isaac would carry on the line of blessing and the covenant. He knew in Isaac that he had many things to go and many places to go, and Isaac would be the father of Jacob, and then that would be the people of God. God had let him live as long enough to have children. If Isaac should die, there is no other descendant left and no possibility for the seed to continue. In Hebrews 11, 17 and 19, it clearly explains the principle. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'And Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received a figurative raise sense." Abraham knew anything was possible, but it was impossible that God would break his promise. He knew God was not a liar. At this point in biblical history, we have no record of anyone being raised from the dead. So Abraham had no precedent or no idea, no concept for this faith, apart from God's promise. Yet Abraham knew that God was able and that God could do it. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. Isaac received the wood for his own sacrifice from his father, and he carried it to the hill of sacrifice. Abraham took the knife up the hill. He didn't leave it behind or pretend to forget it. This was a further demonstration of his obedience and of his trust that was necessary. God would raise Isaac from the dead. The knife was cutting into his own heart all the way up, yet he took it. Unbelief would have left the knife at home, but genuine faith would take the knife with him. The two of them went together. This literally means that two of them went in agreement. Isaac did this knowingly and willingly. The phrase is repeated twice for emphasis. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering." Abraham knew God would provide a sacrifice, but where? Where was the lamb? That question had been asked by all the faithful, from Isaac to Moses to David to Elijah, all the way to the time of John the Baptist, where he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." At this time, Abraham didn't know how God would provide. He still trusted in the ability of God to raise Isaac from the dead, but he wouldn't stop trusting just because he didn't know how God was going to do it. We have a remarkable picture of the work of Jesus at the cross. Thousands of years before it happened, the Son of Promise willingly went to be sacrificed in the obedience of his Father, carrying the wood the cross up the sacrificial hill with all consciousness and confidence in the promise of resurrection. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. They came to the place. Apparently, even on Mount Moriah, there was a specific place God told Abraham to stop, because this was the place to do this. At this time, Abraham was more than 100 years old, and Isaac would have been able to escape his coming death had he chosen to. Yet he submitted to his father perfectly. In remembering Abraham's faith, we should never forget Isaac's faith as well. Isaac trusted his father, and he knew whatever his father was about to do, it was going to be all right. So he laid him upon the wood. As an obedient son, Isaac lay down on the wood, ready to be sacrificed. Verse 10 through 14. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind the hedges, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord shall provide." Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay Isaac. We must believe Abraham was completely willing to plunge the knife into Isaac, because his faith was in God's ability to raise him from the dead, not in God's desire to stop the sacrifice. Abraham didn't think that this was a drama or a ceremony. Notice the obedience of Abraham here. It was no playing around. He was actually going to sacrifice this boy, knowing that somehow, some way, through this sacrifice, God's promise would come true. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he knew that Isaac had been a son of promise. So he figured that if Isaac died, that was going to be a way that God was going to resurrect him. One might say that God told Abraham to do something and then told him not to do something. If God really wants to test Abraham, he should have made him plunge the knife into his son's chest, some would say. Yet God often takes the will for the deed with his people. When he finds them truly willing to make the sacrifice he demands, he often does not require that sacrifice. This is how we can be martyrs without even dying for Jesus. We live the life of a martyr right now. But often there are believers who wonder how they may know the will of God. We may believe that 90% of the knowing of the will of God consists of will to do before it's known. And so sometimes we take it upon ourselves to know the will of God, instead of waiting for God to reveal his will toward us. So he told him, he said, "Do not lay thy hand on the lad or do anything to him." With this, God emphatically shows Abraham that he was not like the pagan god worshipped by the Canaanites and the other gods that were said to demand human sacrifice. God strongly and clearly demonstrated that he did not want human sacrifice. "You have not withheld your son, your only son, from me," God says. Abraham displayed his heart toward God and that he was willing to give up his only son. God displays his heart toward us in the same way by giving up his only son. When God asked Abraham for the ultimate demonstration of love and commitment, he asked him for Abraham's son. when God the Father wanted to show us the ultimate demonstration of his love and commitment to us, he gave us his son. We can say to the Lord, now I know that you love me, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. All the while, God still required a sacrifice. God didn't call off the sacrifice. Instead, he required that there be a substitute provided for God himself. Abraham called the name of the place the Lord will provide. The naming of this place was significant. Abraham called it that because the Lord provided for him. Abraham didn't name this place in reference to what he experienced. He didn't name it to just give it a name. Instead, he named the hill in reference to what God did. He named it God Will Provide. The name knowing God will provide the ultimate sacrifice for salvation on that hill. Earlier, Isaac asked his father, where's the sacrifice? Abraham answered, God will provide himself a lamb. In naming the place Jehovah Jireh, Abraham says nothing about himself at all, but the praise is unto God, who sees and is seen. The record is Jehovah will provide. I like that that title, Jehovah will provide, because that's where God showed his provision to Abraham. As it is said to this day, apparently Moses meant even the same in his day. Men look at that hill and said, this is the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham and later Moses recognized that God did provide. And it pointed to the ultimate sacrifice that God would provide himself. God provided a ram instead of Isaac. This was significant for the occasion of this type. But that which was typified by the ram is indefinitely more glorious. In order to save us, God provided himself. I cannot put it even simply. He did not provide an angel. God did not provide a man. God provided himself. This event also a prophecy of Jesus raising from the dead on the third day. As 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. This is one place where the Old Testament indicates the Messiah would rise again the third day. It says so thoroughly that the picture of Isaac, even though he would be slain, he would rise on the third day. Isaac was reckoned dead by Abraham as soon as God gave him the command. And Isaac was made alive 3 days later. It took him 3 days to get to where he was. So figuratively, Isaac was dead for 3 days. 3 days later, God provided the ram. Isaac's life was spared. Isaac's life as a picture of Jesus becomes even more clearer. They were both born and loved by their father. Both offered themselves willingly. Both carried wood up to their sacrificial hill. Both were sacrificed on the same hill. Both are delivered from death on the third day. Verses 15-19. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessings I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sands in which the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt there in Beersheba. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham. This would seem to be the voice of God, the Son, God himself, the unique messenger or the angel of God. The message following seemed to be the first person. by myself I have sworn. So it could be talking God speaking of himself. He said, by myself I have sworn. You can't swear against nobody else but God. So he said, by myself. Jesus the Messiah, the Son, the God's Son, is uniquely present in a remarkable event. You have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. For the third time, God refers to Isaac as Abraham's only son. He does it in Genesis 22 and 2 and Genesis 22 and 12. He says, blessings, I will bless you. Abraham knew the blessings that came to those who trust God's promise. And trust, it is so completely taking action and belief. Trusting in God's power to raise his only son from the dead, Abraham received his greatest blessing. She says, I will multiply your descendants. Abraham's obedience was based on trust in God's promise to bring descendants through Isaac. Therefore, God repeated and emphasized the promise after Abraham's remarkable obedience. According to the Bible, he says, as the stars are in heaven and the sand upon the seashore. In other words, there will be many. The number would not be able to be counted. Who can count the stars in the sky? Who can count the grains of sand upon the seashore? In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. The promise to bring forth the Messiah from Abraham's lineage was also repeated early in Genesis 12 and 3. The Messiah, the only son of God, the Father, would fulfill the promise of blessing to all the nations of the earth. Verse 20, we're going to stop right there because it goes into another story there. But God's proving does not mean that he stands by. He doesn't stand by and watch how we behave. He helps us to sustain the trials and the tribulations that we are subjected to. We go through life and we have an understanding that God will provide, but do we really trust him to provide? Do we trust him with our lives? Do we trust him with our finances? You see, God puts us into his gymnasium to improve our physique. God puts us in a spiritual gymnasium to build our faith. If we stand the trial, our faith is increased. If we fail, we learn self-distrust and we learn to get closer to him. So my question to you tonight, beloved, have you ever had a test of your faith? Have you ever been in a situation where your faith was actually tested? You may not have been like Abraham. Maybe you were never asked to give your child or sacrifice your child. But have you ever been in a situation where your faith was tested? Have you ever been in a situation where you did not know how you were going to make it, but yet you held strong to the faith, knowing that somehow, some way, God was going to provide a way out? I'd like to hear about that tonight. So we're going to open the lines. If you have anything that you would like to add, please do so. But I want to hear about what you think about a test of faith. I'm going to open the lines tonight. Let's go to area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Hello, Pastor. Hello, everyone.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Mm-hmm. I first of all want to say how I enjoyed the lesson and that I really probably for the first time see how much it parallels with Jesus and, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus and so many steps. But when you talk about have I ever been tested, I'm sure I have been tested to the limit and many a times, sometimes greater times than others. But, yeah, I didn't always trust that God would bring me out. But over time, I began to trust God and trust his word and lean and depend on that's what he says. He will never leave me nor forsaken me, and he will bring me out of this. So, mm-hmm. And I just stood on his word, and I to this day, I can say I stand on his word even through the tough times.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Area code 919, last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line?
Hey, Pastor.
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Hey, so the question was, have you ever been tested?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you get tested every day. I got tested today, tested yesterday, and the day before that. But one thing that I like about the story is what Abraham had a communication with God, an everyday communication with him, meaning there was a two-way conversation. And he can hear from God. And I think sometimes we don't hear from God. There's a reason why we don't hear from God. But that just tells me what kind of man he was. God took the time to have that conversation with him and guide him, and you know, and to just guide him over a period of time. But I can say I do believe that he, after the whole ordeal he went through, and then him not having to sacrifice his son, took Abraham to another level. And
it did.
I think we all go through things and we're tested, and we think we can't do things that we really can do, and when God comes through, takes us to another level. I'm trying to get to my next level.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said. I'm sure that Abraham was never the same after that ordeal. After that, area code 919, last four digits 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
I enjoyed the lesson.
Good evening.
Hey, I enjoyed the lesson, and I agree with Deacon Fuller of what he said also. And yes, we are tested daily. It's a daily thing. And on the lesson here, just God, you know, tested Abraham, you know, by calling him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. See, God, he also calls us to give up, to sacrifice, and, you know, to trust him even when we are tested.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure, you know, sacrificing one's own child is the ultimate test of faith. So I don't have any reason. I'm sure that was there. And see, after he had waited for 25 years, that's his promised son. And, you know, Abraham, he just obeyed and took Isaac up, and he did what God asked him to do. And it was a 50-mile journey.
Amen.
And another thing that I was reading, it was Rick Rogers, I was reading, it was saying that the Muslim swine, the Dome of the Rock. It was saying that in Jerusalem, it said it stands on the site of the sacrifice of Isaac.
Yeah. That's a place where three religions come to that same place.
Right.
Yeah. Area code 919, last four digits 6043. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pat.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I enjoyed the lesson on tonight about Abraham, and I just have a note saying that Isaac was, I have a note that was saying that Isaac was not a baby because he could carry the wood, and he knows what it took to Christ. He asked about the sacrifice, you know, what are we going to sacrifice? And that was just, he had to be, I don't know how old, but old enough to know that sacrifice.
Amen.
So he really, he trust, like you said, you were saying how he had a level of faith as well.
Mm-hmm.
As they were growing up too. Yes, he trusted his dad, but he did question what is the sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see, verse. I can't remember. Oh, several. It's different verses where Abraham heard God's voice and he answered. And I have a note on that. And like, in order to answer God, you have to know, you know, the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
Have a relationship with him so that you can recognize his voice when he does speak to you and try to instruct you on different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Good afternoon, Pastor Rogers. Yes, this is Carrie. I am on the line. I have truly enjoyed the beautiful Bible study this afternoon. And to answer mm-hmm. your question, does God test us? Yes, I believe he tests us, whether it's a person that he puts before us or just a situation. And my thoughts on the lesson this evening is that when God asks us to do something, it may be painful to us. We may not understand it in that moment, but God just asks us to have faith. If only of the size of a mustard seed, God will fulfill his promise to us if we do. And that is, he's asking us, and if we do so, then we pass that test. That particular mm-hmm. test. I think mm-hmm. we have mm-hmm. more than one test. You know, I think he puts us through, you know, mm-hmm. tests periodically.
Yes, yeah, some mm-hmm. people have tests of life and death. I'm not talking about everyday tests. I'm talking about there are some people whose life is threatened. When the doctor says that we can't do nothing else, and you still believe mm-hmm. that you're going to get well, that's a test.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about poking on your nerves testing you. I'm talking about life and death tests. I'm talking about the stuff that goes mm-hmm. on in your life. You don't know whether your child is going to make it home or not. You don't know whether you're going to be able to afford to stay in your house or not because of the bills or the payments.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about tests that make a difference, that can be life-altering.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have tests that things that we go through every day. But those mm-hmm. tests may not be life-altering. We're talking about life-altering tests. How was he going to explain to that boy's mother? How was Abraham going to go back and tell Sarah that he killed her only child? How was he going to be able to go back and tell her that? So mm-hmm. these are some things that we have to consider when we talk about this particular scripture, this test of faith. And as I said at the beginning, mm-hmm. this was not a test to prove Abraham's faith. It was a test to substantiate or to make it stronger. God mm-hmm. knew that he had faith, mm-hmm. but he wanted to prove it. He wanted to make it stronger in Abraham, not just to prove to see if Abraham would do it, but he wanted Abraham's faith to develop and get stronger as he mm-hmm. went. And just like Deacon Fuller said, Abraham was probably never the same after this incident. He was never the same after that. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add? Well, I thank God for all of you who have been on the line tonight. This is a very interesting lesson that God has placed before us. But think about these things that we go through in life. When God promises to bring us out of a situation, or God promises to provide for us, we must know that these are the things that we have received from him because of the faith that we have. And as long as we keep our faith strong and keep building up our faith, then no matter what we go through, we know that God will provide. Just like Abraham had to know that God would provide. He didn't know how. He didn't know when. But he knew God wasn't going to let that boy die. He knew that. He knew somehow or another, even if the boy died, he was going to come back to life. Because God had made a promise for that boy. So God would not renege on his promise. So he didn't know how he was going to do it. But he knew that something was going to happen to be divine mm-hmm. intervention. All right, let's
Reverend Rogers.
Go right ahead.
No, mm-hmm. that's confirmed that in the lesson when he told them that we
will be back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Uh-huh. That we told the young man to stay with the donkey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he said, we'll be back. So he knew he was coming uh-huh. back. He knew both of them were coming
mm-hmm.
back. That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. He knew that. Let us mm-hmm. pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this lesson tonight, Father. We thank you, God, for proving our faith. We ask that, God, that you would lift us up on every leaning side and be Jehovah Jireh in our lives, O Lord. There are many times in our lives, God, that we need your help. We need your assistance. We cannot do it on our own. And we know, God, that if we call on your name, Father, that you will provide for us, just like you provided for Abraham, just like you provided for the children of Israel. Mm. You'll provide for us today. Whatever we need, God, whatever we ask of thee, you said, if you ask in my mm-hmm. name, I would give it to you. And so, Father, we thank mm-hmm. you today for being a giving God, a caring God, a God who wants us to do well, a God who stands us up, even in our trial and our tribulation. And you are the God, Jehovah Jireh. We thank you tonight, God, mm-hmm. for this lesson. We thank you for those who have been on the line. We ask now, God, that you will continue to bless First Baptist of Holly Springs. All that we do and say is done to glorify your holy name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All
amen.
Right, y'all have a good night.
Amen.
We'll
good
see
night.
You. We'll see
good
you.
Night.
Good night. Oh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.